Monday.
You.
Monday.
Go, Will. Go, Will. Go, Will. You guys know what time it is. It is time for Will and Denise. Denise and Will on here on After the Week. And it is Sunday, February 19th. And man, we had a pretty, so much going on in the world of wrestling. Will, kick us off, man. How do you think this week went so far? What was your viewing experience yesterday? How did you fit in Elimination Chamber and Battle in the Valley?
And also watching the slam dunk contest as well. I will say
highlights of that, by the way. Yeah. I saw that one guy, the one, what was his name, Mac or something?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I had my iPad, I had my phone, and I had my TV, all of which had something different going on it. And because it's All-Star Weekend. Like, it was the funny thing. I said last week that wrestling fans were going to be humbled this week, and they sure as hell were, because I said that Twitter's going to be a reminder that wrestling's not the biggest thing in the world, because as much as there was some cool stuff happening across Elimination Chamber, there was cool stuff happening across New Japan, number one trend in the world was still the slam dunk contest, because look, that's how these things go. And I'm a big basketball fan, so I got to absorb it all. I'm going to watch the All-Star game tonight. But it was hard. It was hard to watch three things at once, especially when you have that little bit of ADHD with the... Actually, that kind of made it easier for me. But just being able to watch all of these things. But it was a good weekend. How was yours? I checked in on your watch along every once in a while, because there's times where I'm like, I didn't like that. Wonder what Denise thought. And I'm like, oh, I don't have, like, sometimes I'll just text you. And most of the time I will text you during the day, right?
Yeah, you knew I wasn't going to be on my phone, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, I know how I can find out. Let me just open the stream. And then I'm like, seeing your reaction. Because I legitimately thought, like, a good example, Women's Elimination Chamber. I didn't love that. Normally I'll text Denise about this, but let me see how she felt. I jump in on your stream, and sure enough, you are like, I didn't love that. And I'm like, okay, cool. So
I love how we all need like instant validation. Like, this is how I feel. Does anybody else feel this way with me? If you do, let's all be friends and walk together. You know, but I get it. And it's one of those things too, where yesterday I did, you know, obviously watch along was like 3.5 hours long. Well, 3.5 hours, because I started 10 minutes before the stream. So it was quite a bit of time, you know, there. No potty breaks, none of that. And then right afterwards, you know, I did the post show, and that lasted over 2 hours. That was like 2 hours and 10 minutes. So I had, between the watch along and the post show, I was like stressed out, because Sean was already waiting for me. He was like, we need to start. I'm like, Sean, I need to go to the bathroom. Like, I need to go, like, or else, like, I'm just finished my 3.5 hour stream. So I went to the bathroom, said hi to my husband, came back in, drank a little bit of water, threw my sweater across the room. And I was like, all right, I'm ready. Let's go. And so whatever time that was, so it was kind of crazy, but because of that, so I, by the time everything was done for me with Elimination Chamber, by the time I took a shower, got in my pajamas, end of the day, it was already midnight for me, which doesn't happen very often, because, you know, obviously being in the West Coast, I'm more privy to having a wrestling end at a good amount of time. So I was so pissed I didn't get to watch Battle in the Valley yet. And so I'm hoping on based on what you say here today, whether or not what things I'm actually going to watch for the show. So Will, you're going to be my guide for today.
Okay, cool. I mean, I will say, I thought I could make it, but for whatever reason, I've had some really early mornings. And the end result of that is that I fell asleep during Battle in the Valley, and I was not expecting to. And because the thing I was waiting for so much was Mercedes Moné versus Kairi. And I got through the entrances, got a little bit into the match, passed out, woke up at the end, so I knew what had happened. I woke up at the very end of the entire show, and I could see them celebrating all of the stuff. I saw the post-match stuff with Okada and Mercedes holding their belts up, and I'm like, okay, I know how that match ended, but let me go back and watch it to see what I missed. And so you'll see where it falls on my list.
This was you, Will. Hold on. I got a funny picture, because you said that you just like knocked out, like, right? This was you.
Yeah, that was me.
In the middle of your day.
That was me. I was like, okay, let's do this. And I sat down. I got excited for the match. I had like a couple of snacks, and then I started dozing off, and that was it.
Oh,
long
man.
Day, very long day, and only a longer weekend because it's President's Day weekend. So kids have school off. They've got a 4-day weekend, so it's going to be
busy. That's nice. That's nice. All right. Well, there you go. That was our quick little show's over. Let's go home. Just kidding.
Exactly. You heard everything.
We got to get into our best and worst of the week, and I have a feeling this is going to be an interesting episode for sure. But just a heads up, guys, if you want to help support this podcast, get your questions, your comments, your statements read here on this stream. We are more than happy whenever you guys send in super chats. We appreciate them a whole lot because for me in this particular channel, they keep me funded and they keep me funding Will to also come back and be on this channel. So Ryan Ben,
you'll know if I don't show up 1 week, then I just didn't get paid. So
the bill didn't go through, like all of a sudden, like past payment overdue.
Yeah, it'll just be Denise sent, and then just like Denise by herself with like a block over, and I didn't get paid.
Denise and Will, the whole intro, and then it's just Denise.
Yes.
Will didn't get the bill. There you go. I don't know, whatever. All right. Orion Ben 666 sends in a super chat saying, great night of wrestling. Don't care what feds you support. There was great moments for all. I'm still loving Monet's tribute to Hana. Oh, she did a tribute.
Her whole attire, her everything.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That is so nice. Okay. Orion Ben says, have fun. Thank you so much to Orion Ben. I'm so nice that she did that because I feel like, you know, with her and with Daphne and just that happening within such a short, I don't remember exactly like what the time difference was between both of those, but I just feel like I'm happy that they're not forgotten about and they've been consistently, you know, just remembered in like different moments. And so for this, like this was a really, I guess it's really nice to do that. So yes. I'm happy. I also, someone asked if I watched the press conference. I don't watch a press conference if I'm not at the press conference. I'm sorry. Will, is that weird? Like, do you ever watch a press conference that you didn't attend?
You know, what's weird is, so I've been at every AEW press conference for the last like 2 years. Right. And so that's, but I missed one Ring of Honor one, or two of them. And so what's really difficult is, like, I'm so in the habit of being at them that when it comes time for a question, like, I'll be watching on my TV and I'm like, nope, it's not my turn. I'm not even there. What am I doing? Fucking idiot. It is weird to have these things happen and not be at them. I will be at the Revolution press conference, by the way, so I don't have to worry about that here. I watched. The hard thing is watching from the outside and all of a sudden having an opinion on it, because I did watch the Elimination Chamber press conference. I'm watching all of the controversy around questions because,
look,
you know,
when it comes to that, I'm just going to say this. If you ain't there, that's not, don't worry about the questions. I'm sorry, but it's like people go there with different reasons and have different things to ask. Not everybody's going to be there for the exact same reason. And so like when people have issues with the questions, I'm like, if you're not there, go take yourself there. You can get there.
Yeah.
Ask
so
your own questions. I feel
so that's my thing. I don't
watch just to criticize. Just to criticize, honestly.
Well, that's what got me here was I feel like no matter what you do, this is the lesson here. For anybody who's aspiring to do press conferences, to be a part of wrestling media, any of this, somebody is going to have a problem with what you do. And a good example of that is if you ask too light of a question or something that people deem too light, a softball, whatever, there's the people who are going to jump on you, who are going to jump all over you and be like, why didn't you ask a hard-hitting question? Why didn't you follow up on this thing? Why didn't you blah, blah, blah? Oh, you're taking it easy on because you just want to be able to come back. People are going to tell you that. And then last night, I thought Brandon Thurston had a very reasonable question when he asked about the sale. He asked Hunter straight up about the sale, right? And I see tweets saying, why is he asking about that? That's irrelevant. He should be asking about Elimination Chamber. And I thought,
there's no winning.
There's no winning. There's no winning with these people. So at the end of the day, just ask what is relevant to the content you produce. That's what
yes,
I feel.
Thank you. Because people go there with different purposes. You have local media. For example, when we were there for, God, what was it? Royal Rumble. We had a lot of gaming media there. there was a lot of local media that just want sound bites where they're talking about, you know, they get the, you know, so-and-so Bray Wyatt talking about San Antonio or whatever. Then you clearly have wrestling media. Then you also, and then on top of that, there's also more like more niche stuff within that, because there's people that, you know, you've got content creators that just want certain type of content. It's very different, and everybody goes in with a different, the different need for that weekend. Absolutely. You know, and we know this because we all go in there with a different purpose. And you see this when you go to media events. You see certain people doing things, other people not doing certain things. Why? Because everybody has a different assignment and a different reason to be there.
Exactly. And like, I thought that obviously Brandon Thurston, guy who runs WrestleNomics, should absolutely be asking things about the economics of pro wrestling. That was a relevant question to his platform. And I thought anybody who has a problem with that question in this form, when the one rare time you get to ask Triple H about the sale of the company, nah, I thought that was nonsense. To see people agreeing with him in that, people agreeing in that thread of people just criticizing it, I thought that was either way, you can't win. Just ask things that are relevant to the content you produce and you'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. But you got to understand, there's a lot of people that don't know about this stuff, though, Will. That's the thing. Like, there's a lot of people that think you have to be, you have to fit a certain mold of what people think a journalist is without realizing that that's an archaic view. It's super archaic to think that this person has to be exactly like that person, like this person and this person, because we have evolved, ladies and gentlemen. We're in 2023. People are producing all different types of content and people are taking different types of roles. And this is one of the biggest struggles that I've personally have had, because, you know, you come in doing something different, and Will, I'm sure you can attest to this for yourself too. You're doing something different and it doesn't follow the same mold of what people think you need to do. It's like you're not progressing with the times. I'm sorry, the times are changing.
Absolutely. I agree.
We got a super chat here from Ricardo. El Comerciante de Pepsi says, I'm at WK. Can't wait to watch. Oh, okay. He's he can't wait to watch Battle of the Valley. Lots of love. Okay. Oh, he's at work. Thank you. I was like, what's WK?
I know. I was like, I thought my brain went like Wrestle Kingdom. Are you watching? I'm like, are you watching New Japan chronologically? Because if so, yeah, you've got a few shows to catch up on, but you'll get to Battle of the Valley eventually.
Right, that's what I was thinking. I was like, wait, hold on. I don't know what's happening here. But thank you so much to Ricardo, who's at work.
Thank you for watching from work.
Yeah, seriously. That. Seriously. It's much appreciated. And for sending in a super chat. Anonymous Batty says, y'all both looking sharp on here on this Sunday. So I got what I'm calling my Lita look right now, except the Disney Channel version of it. I got cargo pants on. You just can't see them. They're brand new, like a new look. You can kind of see them, you know? And then I got like the whole little get up here, skulls, like, hey, I'm feeling my Lita vibes today.
Let me tell you guys, while we're confessing things and admitting here that, so I am well-dressed for Sunday because I have a place to be immediately after this show. And so I wanted to make sure I got myself dressed. However, I was literally getting dressed 90 seconds before the show started. And so up top, looking good. Great shirt. Still in sweatpants, though. And
they don't even match.
No, not in the slightest. I couldn't find my good jeans that I'm planning on wearing today. Don't have socks on either. But you got to pay extra for the feet. I just threw on my sweatpants real quick, and I'm like, I'll finish getting dressed later. I am halfway dressed for the day. But luckily, on the podcast, all you see is this here. So
exactly.
Don't got to worry about it.
Leonard Aarons III sends in a very generous super chat. Thank you so much to Leonard, who says, right now, Zayn Reigns is up there with Ospreay Omega as the best matches I've seen this year. That said, Sammy should have won. Sammy winning would have been a generational moment. Cody at Mania doesn't come close to this. Okay, so Leonard, I'm so sorry because I really appreciate your super chat. I really do. But unfortunately, I do have to disagree with a couple of these comments. And I know we'll get into more with Zayn and Reigns later on. But just speaking, I can't compare Zayn and Reigns anywhere near what Ospreay and Omega was. And I know people are going to be like, God damn it, how dare you? But that's my opinion. And I only talk about my own opinions. Will, did you want to chime in or should we press on?
We'll press on. This will get discussed as the show goes on.
I feel so bad. Okay. Caden C sends in a super chat saying, if my moment isn't on your list, I swear. I don't know, Caden. I don't know. All right.
I don't. Okay. So I'll say this. I don't think your moment's on the list, Caden. But the moment Caden, of course, is referring to is the fact that during MJF's entrance on Dynamite this week, MJF stops midway through the ramp, stares directly at Caden, takes his gum out of his mouth and chucks it straight in the face of Caden, hits him directly in the nose. Caden still has the gum.
What?
Oh, no, yeah.
Get rid of that. Are you kidding me? Get rid of that, Caden. That's disgusting. That's disgusting.
Not on my list, Caden, but I will say that was probably one of my biggest pops of the week. Literally because I told the story day after Dynamite, but I was not paying attention whatsoever. I was like, you know, MJF's entrance hits, and I start kind of scrolling my phone, like, you know, just catching up on some of the takes of Dynamite. And then all of a sudden I get a message from Caden that says, let me know when you see it. And I'm like, huh? And I look up at my screen, and within seconds, I see MJF staring directly at Caden and then just throws his gum right in Caden's face. It was great. If you haven't seen this part of his entrance, just go back and watch it.
I missed it too. Oh, man. I'm so bummed. But Caden, throw the gum away, please. All right.
No. If anything, I don't know. Look, I decided to use my media credentials to inquire about said gum, and I asked MJF about said gum, and the direct quote I got was that if Caden Cease sells this gum on, hold on, I want the direct quote. Let's see. It says, tell him if he sells it, he better give me a cut. So,
bro, you know, Caden could just start like, just start really cloning MJF, make a bunch of little MJFs since now he has, you know, some of MJF's DNA.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get into this, man. Third best of the week. Will, we'll kick it off with you. What's on your list?
All right, so as some of you know when you watch this show right here, a lot of times things from Dynamite will wind up on this list. However, I think this may be one of the first times there is nothing from Dynamite on my list.
Me
because
either.
Dynamite, for the most part, is a show that delivers good wrestling moments. But this week, they had none of that. I thought I was
one of the few people that felt that way.
Oh no, Dynamite was T-Rash this week.
Yeah, but, I know.
Yeah, not a good show whatsoever. However, I did actually think, for a change, Rampage had some stuff that delivered this week. I thought Rampage, and I thought this when I first saw the card, when I saw the card side by side, I was like, Rampage feels more like a Dynamite this week, and Dynamite feels more like a Rampage. That's interesting. I wonder if that's how it'll actually execute. And sure enough, it did. I thought that the main event of Rampage this week, Swerve Strickland going one-on-one with Dustin Rhodes, was an actual very good match. I wasn't sure what to expect out of this because Dustin, I've been convinced for the last 10 years, because that's the way Dustin's been presented to me, has been over the hill. But yet, over the last four of those 10 years in AEW, Dustin always manages to come through, whether it's the match he had with Cody at Double or Nothing, whether it's the match he had last year with CM Punk. Dustin comes through when it's time. And of course, Swerve Strickland is somebody right now who has something to prove. He has something to prove in wanting to establish himself as a top-tier main eventer, main event heel specifically in AEW. I didn't know that Dustin was the right guy to establish that with, but man, you know what I really love about AEW's presentation of Dustin Rhodes? I love how legitimate he's come off. I grew up with Dustin Rhodes as the Natural. When I first started watching wrestling as a kid, he was the Natural in WCW, and then he jumped over to WWF, and for a long time he was presented legitimately. And then somewhere along the way, somewhere around like late 1999 or like early 99, they kind of decided, you know what, Dustin's just gonna be a guy that fills a little bit of a mid-card role, but he's never gonna be somebody we take seriously. But I feel like these last few years he has been so good at reminding us that this is a guy who is 6'6". This is a man who is a great natural athlete and a man that in his 50s can still go. I loved this main event. I loved how it presented Dustin. I loved how it presented Swerve sadistically, and how well Dustin came off as somebody who wasn't willing to put up with Swerve's shit. Obviously, we got to see Dustin bleed. Look, that's a thing that these Rhodes boys do best. I'm, you know, if in WWE, if they're handing out fines for bleeding, I almost feel like Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania this year should just take the fucking fine. Your WrestleMania payday is going to be big enough. Take that $20,000 and let it go. Bleed for us. Anyway, though, the natural Dustin Rhodes, I thought, looked great here. But Swerve also looked like $1 million in this match as somebody who was willing to do whatever it took to put somebody down. He sold Crossroads so well that I'm almost annoyed that we didn't get Cody versus Swerve at any point. We've seen it. We saw it in Defy, but we haven't seen it on TV in any way. And the way Swerve took that Crossroads, almost like a no-handed cartwheel, I felt like, I still feel like I want to see that match. We got the DQ finish because at the end of the day, Dustin almost had it won. But then Parker Boudreaux had the interference. But just talking about this specific match, I even thought Parker looked better. I thought Parker looked better than he's ever looked. I thought that, hey, somebody told him, stop doing the Brock stuff. You're not Brock Lesnar. Stop. Because I thought that the offense he laid in on Dustin actually looked pretty dang good. I thought everybody came off well here. This was a great way to end Rampage and send us into some of the All-Star stuff. I loved it.
So here's the thing. I was looking, when I was preparing my list for today, I was thinking the same thing of like, man, I don't know where I'm going to fit. If there's anything back on Dynamite that I want on the show, on my list today, and I went back and I looked at everything that happened on Dynamite, and I was like, man, I'm not feeling absolutely anything. Like, now looking in terms of the entire week altogether, sometimes there's things where I might have not added them on the list, but then I decided to be based on everything else that occurred. But I legitimately thought that AEW Dynamite this week was just not good. And it's weird too, because I feel, and I kind of already knew this too, you know, with the card heading into the show, I thought that it felt a little bit weak. But then I thought, you know what, for the most part, AEW Dynamite delivers all the time, even if there's a card that I'm not so interested in. But this one kind of just didn't deliver the exact same way that it normally does. But I'm like, okay, fine. It's not the end of the world, because most of, you know, Dynamites have been very, very consistent, especially the last 2 weeks this past week. We've been seeing a lot of really good like matches and whatnot. Things have been pretty good. With that being said, I almost put this one on my list here. I almost put it on here because this was the best thing that AEW did this entire week, in my opinion, because they did a really great job building to this. And like, even just like I was talking about this. God, when was I talking about it? On the Friday show, when Dustin was doing his promo about Swerve and his tattoo and Doritos and this and that, and then we get the attack. I loved all of that. I thought all of that was really fun. I love how they did that. And then, you know, at one point when both Parker and Swerve are beating up on Dustin and they bring out the cylinder block, and commentary starts bringing up how this is the cylinder block that took out Keith Lee. At this point, it was pretty much
cylinder block. You mean?
What did I say?
Cylinder.
Oh, sorry.
It's absolutely not a cylinder.
Whatever. Cinder block. Whatever. Uh-huh. My brain's whatever. Okay, that's so okay. The cinder block, he brings it up. And at this moment when, thanks, Will. I'm trying to get back what I was trying to think of here. Okay, so he brings out the freaking block, and then afterwards, the commentary is mentioning how this is how they took out Keith Lee, right? So for me, I'm thinking at this point, okay, it's very obvious that Keith Lee is going to come out. So Keith Lee, I love the attack from behind. The new look from Keith Lee was pretty interesting. He's got like silver hair now. I'm like, all right, cool. You know, you do you. I don't know how I feel about it totally.
I know. I'm not sure how I feel about it either. I don't like Keith Lee.
It aged him a whole lot.
It aged him a whole lot. And honestly,
I don't want to be a bitch about it and be like, your hair doesn't look good.
I don't like Keith Lee without a beard. I'm just going to say it. I think Keith Lee needs a beard at all times. And every time he has shaved his beard, I always have this little sense of disappointment. Keith Lee, you need your beard. As a matter of fact, I would have gone the opposite direction. Like, if he was going to do the lesser hair thing, bigger beard is what I would have done. Do a Rick Ross look, full beard, shaved head, Keith Lee. That's what I would go for.
Yeah. So the look, I wasn't totally sold on it, but you know what, Keith, you do you. For me, I thought that this was, yeah, like I said, probably on the better side of things, what they did with AEW. And I'm curious to see, you know, where are we going from here, Will? Do you think we're going to see a tag team match? What was the Revolution picture look like to you?
I feel like they have to go with the one-on-one Swerve versus Keith Lee. I don't know that
that's what I was thinking too, because that's what I originally thought. But once they incorporated Keith Lee into this, I'm thinking, okay, well, then you clearly have to have Keith Lee part of this. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I still feel like I'm left wanting more between Swerve and Dustin.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I would pay that match off on Dynamite. I think that's the biggest audience you could put it in front of. I think go one more time, Swerve versus Dustin on Dynamite with some kind of stipulation, and then Revolution go Swerve versus Keith Lee one-on-one.
Got it. Okay. And we got a super chat here from Sheldon Jackson who says Roman versus Sammy was like the M. Night Shyamalan movie last night. A great buildup during the match, but the ending was a massive disappointment. And we'll talk more about this later on today. And Mr. CJ Lilly says, hey guys, looks like Alexa's out of WrestleMania for the second year. Well, she's healthy and it seems like a creative choice, not hers. This is her last one as her contract ends next March. What's going on? I don't know exactly when Alexa Bliss's contract ends, so I can't even comment on that because I don't know. But I feel like right now it's not too out of the question that Alexa's out of WrestleMania. We still got a couple of weeks to go, and you know, we're still piecing together this, you know, her role in this whole stuff with The Fiend and all of that. Any thoughts, Will, Fiend expert?
look, I don't know what's happening with her and Uncle Howdy. I feel like all of that, like, just fell off at Royal Rumble and hasn't been referenced since. I don't know that there's a spot for her at WrestleMania. That's the thing, is like, I always find myself disappointed in people's lack of presence at WrestleMania if I felt like there was a place that they should have been. But at the end of the day, Asuka is the person who should be challenging for the Raw Women's Championship. Absolutely. I tweeted yesterday that I think it's interesting that they have nobody from SmackDown to challenge Charlotte. They literally had to pull Rhea Ripley from Raw because that's kind of how dire SmackDown's women's title
even
picture
is. Even for Bray Wyatt, when he had to be like, oh, well, I challenged someone from Goldberg and Bobby Lashley. Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley.
Yeah. So it's very interesting as far as that's concerned. But looking at it, like, there are so many other women on the roster, because I would still say, like, I would make sure I'm finding a spot for Becky Lynch. I want to make sure I'm finding a spot for Bayley. I want to make sure finding a spot for now it's looking like likely Damage Control versus Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey. And it's like, as we're working our way down the women's roster list, Alexa isn't exactly all that high up for where she's been the last year as far as finding a place for her at WrestleMania. It sucks that there isn't a spot for her, but at the same time, I'm thinking, but what would that spot be if there was?
Right. And unfortunately, given what we saw between Alexa and Bianca both times, it didn't leave me wanting to be like, oh yeah, Alexa should be in this match against Bianca. That was not, you know, a WrestleMania match that I would want to see, just based on what we've seen previously from their Raw match as well as their pay-per-view match. We got Ricardo who sends in a super chat saying, going to Dynamite on Wednesday. I hope it's not trash. No, like I said, I feel like it's not very often that you get a not so great version of Dynamite. I think for the most part, they're a pretty consistent show.
Yeah, I think this past week's, you know, I had mentioned on Day After Dynamite this week that I was like, was this past week's a chicken or the egg kind of situation? Because the card wasn't great going into the show, but also neither were sales figures for tickets in the show. Was it one of those things where they looked at it and went, well, you don't exactly have a great crowd this week. Do we burn a great show on a so-so crowd? Because this week is in Phoenix. It's the first time AEW's ever hit Phoenix. It's the first time they've ever hit Arizona. And it's one of their better attended shows, at least ticket-wise, of the year. I can't help but wonder, being the first time in Phoenix, and it's a major arena, it's an NBA arena, it's where the Suns play, are they going to give them more of a show worthy of a crowd that's going to have that kind of attendance? I have a feeling they will.
Thank you so much to Ricardo for also sending this in, and have a good time at Dynamite. And let me just catch up with everything. Caden C sends in a super chat saying that crowd didn't deserve two returns, says Caden. We got a super chat here from Tyrone Kidd who says, over under 50%, Asuka gets the WrestleMania win. I know you love percentages, Will. I don't think she's going to win at WrestleMania.
I do. So I'm going to say 70%.
I'm going to say right now, mine is like 2%.
So I think that at this stage, the way that she's being built, she seems to be getting built in a way that is positioning her strongly against Bianca Belair. I don't feel like she's coming off as one of her kind of lesser challengers. If she loses, it's going to be one where they make her look like $1 million in it. But I think they didn't go with this new presentation, new music, new all of this to have her lose this soon.
Right. I feel like, to be honest, I feel like this is, I personally feel like right now I'm settling with Asuka and Bianca, because I know the match is going to be good, but clearly we just found out that it's going to be Asuka. But I feel like because it was just too predictable that Asuka was going to be the person to win this Elimination Chamber match, I feel just a little bit like, okay, this is what's handed to me. I'm just going to take it. Am I necessarily like completely riveted? Maybe not, but I feel like I'm gonna wait and let it play out and see how this whole story is going to unfold. Like, again, I know I'm gonna get a good WrestleMania match out of these two, but that's kind of where I'm at right now. Like, I'm not too interested at this moment, personally. But thank you so much to Tyrone Kidd for also sending in this super chat as well. Okay, and we got one here from Joe Compton who says, Jey Uso couldn't pull the trigger and finish the job. Thoughts? Oh, we'll get to that, Joe. We will get to that. I don't want to disregard your super chat, but trust me, we will get to that. Thank you so much to Joe Compton for sending that in. All right, so now let's go ahead and press on from here, and let's get into my third best of the week, Will. And so I decided, I was debating, like, where should I go with this one? Again, I told you I didn't pick anything from the AEW side of things this time around. So I've decided to go with a match that I didn't expect to put on here whatsoever. And it ended up being the mixed tag team match that I wasn't looking forward to at all at Elimination Chamber. I didn't care for it at all. And the fact that I didn't care about it, I didn't even care to see it, and I actually felt very entertained during this. The main reason being Beth Phoenix and Rhea Ripley going at it like two dominant alpha females. I'm sorry, I was completely here for those interactions, and I just loved everything that Rhea and Beth did here. I didn't necessarily, and this was something that I spoke about in the Fightful show, I would have liked to see Finn Balor and Rhea Ripley get the win, but I don't think that it took away from the stuff that they did within this actual match. I loved just Rhea and Beth trying to overpower each other. Both of them power bombing, you know, the other guys in this match. And like, for me, that was a pretty good moment. So I enjoyed it. And at this point in the show was what, like the third match or something. I wasn't a fan of the Women's Elimination Chamber match. I wasn't a fan of, why do I keep wanting to say Goldberg? He's like in my head or something. He's like, for some reason, again, I wanted to say Goldberg. I wasn't a fan of Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar. And so for me, it's like, okay, at this point this was the best thing during the time period that we were in. Thoughts on this, Will? You look like I couldn't read your face on this one.
I'm just laughing at the chat because Sean's in the chat.
Sean's just trying to get attention, because here's the thing, Sean, my YouTube channel has way more subscribers than yours
hey,
now.
Hey, I am on both, so hey, I don't Will. Have... any dog well, in that fight. As a matter of fact, this I have more war. Content on the other one. So at the end of the day, I will not stand for this.
Okay. Now, Will, this is a war, okay? Step aside at this moment. So Sean's on here trying to get some damn attention. We got a super chat here from S. Martinez 281 who says, can you guys use your media connections to ask Tony why they keep skipping Houston, Texas?
They were in Houston last year, and they were in Houston the year before. You guys get a show once a year. That's pretty good.
I was going to say, well, LA's gone in like a show once a year.
Yeah, I don't think...
The last 2 years.
It hasn't been so bad. They've hit Houston twice now. As a matter of fact, Houston got to a cappella sing Chris Jericho's theme song, which was still one of the coolest entrance moments I've ever seen.
Well, he wants more than one show per year. Who can blame him? There's a couple cities that get like a bunch per year. Thank you so much to S Martinez 281 for sending in this super chat. All right, so second best, Will, you're up.
All righty. So my second best thing this week, on any other week, would have been the best thing to happen this week, and that was the men's elimination chamber match, in which
I put Sean in timeout.
Of course
muted
you did.
In the chat, biatch.
I am not in this whatsoever. Anyway, men's elimination chamber match. There was so much for this match to prove, because in this men's elimination chamber match, we saw six competitors competing over the United States Championship. We saw Austin Theory defending the title against Seth Rollins, against Bronson Reed, against Montez Ford, against Johnny Gargano, and against Damian Priest. Look, I think that going into this match, I had some concerns, because when you watch Raw on a regular basis, it is hard to deny a few things. One, Bronson Reed is not over. Two, an even bigger crime, Johnny Gargano is not over. And I think even Damian Priest is, he's in an act that's over, but I think he's a piece of it that the people care about the least. And then on top of that, you have Montez Ford, who everybody sees as this breakout singles act. And I say all that to say that all four guys in this match had something to prove. And I think that all four of them proved it in spades. You had, I think you start with, let's start with Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed, I think, needed to establish himself as an unstoppable monster force. And I think he did that better than he's ever done it in this match. He looked like a million bucks getting to have some of the spots he had with everybody and looking like the guy everybody feared in the match. So much so that he was the first eliminated, but he was eliminated in a way that made him look unstoppable, because it took everybody to take him out. And I thought that by the time he was done, the way the fans were reacting to him throughout the match, everything that was done for him made him look better than when he walked in. So I was very, very happy with the way he was presented in the match. And then I look at somebody like Johnny Gargano. Johnny Gargano, I think I would have liked to have seen him look like more of a threat in the match, because at the end of the day, I don't think he looked like somebody who could have had it won. But I think that his performance in there was outstanding. I think that I've had problems with the fact that somebody named Johnny Wrestling hasn't gotten a show off his wrestling on Monday Night Raw. Here, though, he looked so good, and he got to do what he does best, and that's wrestle. I thought that the reverse powerbomb into the Rana spot with Seth Rollins off the top of the pod looked phenomenal. Great production work on that, not showing everybody just standing around on the outside, because that's the thing that a lot of people forget to do. But Johnny Gargano got to look very, very good. Like I said, I would have liked to have seen him look like a little bit more of a threat. Maybe at some point look like he could have had somebody beat, and I don't think he did. But I thought that as a wrestler, he looked great here. And then the breakout star of the match was Montez Ford. Montez Ford was in there just looking like the singles wrestler that people all know he could be. Montez, he will start with the spot of him that gave me so much anxiety. I was just like, please don't slip. Please, like, I don't want anything to go wrong here, because there's so much that could go wrong. Like, for example, if his, because you kind of need that core strength, if he had lost his footing, he was screwed. But there's so much that could have gone wrong. But him doing the spider crawl up to the top and then cannonballing onto everybody on the ground was amazing. Then on top of that, he got to be the guy to take out, if I remember correctly, he pinned Bronson Reed, didn't he? He pinned him after the splash.
Yes, because they all did
So again, everybody hit their finishers on Bronson Reed, but at the end of the day, the person who got the pin was Montez Ford. And then Montez Ford, of course, gets to get the elimination on Damian Priest as well, with the electric chair spot, which was kind of scary looking at the way that Damian Priest landed. But again, I thought Montez Ford got to look like a singles competitor. He got to look like somebody who's ready for that spot. And so thinking about how everybody walked into this match and how many people walked out better for it, this was very, very good. And it was entertaining. It was exciting. It was electric. I even appreciated the little bit of genius around Montez. Of course, the way he was curb stomped on the outside of the ring, which, of course, I always have a big problem with the visual of anybody being, any black person being curb stomped on Black History Month. But either way, that was, of course, used to have him brought out of the chamber. Now, immediately, my thought was, okay, Logan Paul's running in. It's just a matter of when. But the genius piece I liked here was when he was being helped out of the chamber. And then he stumbles a little bit on the stairs. And I saw everybody kind of collectively go, oh, is this real? And then you realize, no, it was really just to keep him in a spot to keep the door open. And so that allowed for Logan Paul to run in. I would have liked for Austin Theory to have gotten a cleaner finish. I think a common theme at Elimination Chamber was that it was full of really shitty finishes. And I think across the board on the major matches, when you look at the main event, when you look at Brock versus Bobby, when you look at this chamber, the finishes kind of suck. But I think that this was the one, the finish I hated the least here. And it allowed Austin Theory to ultimately walk away with the United States Championship. This was great.
I'll talk more about this in a second. Caden
Cease. Oh, was my prediction at the beginning of the show correct or before the show?
Possibly. I forgot what it was. What did you say?
I said, my gut feeling is that my number two is your number one.
Oh, we don't know that. Caden Cease sends in a super chat saying, any thoughts on them going back to Austin so soon? Plus a match, plus in a much bigger venue, blood and guts potentially for one of their best crowds. Thoughts on this?
Well, yeah, so... yeah, we kind of talked about the fact that, and I'm specifically talking about with Caden, that, you know, AEW has run Austin, Texas, pretty much since the beginning of AEW. I think it was February of 2020 they first ran Cedar Park, Texas. I want to say it was February 12th, 2020. But then they've been back to that crowd ever since. It's one of their best crowds, and they did recently announce that they're going to run Austin, Texas proper, and it's going to be at the Moody Center, which is one of their newest venues, if not the newest venue, I think. It's a much bigger venue than they've typically run in Austin, Texas. I could see them, well, what date is that? That's May 17th. Oh, my anniversary. Let's see. So that's, if it's May 17th, that's a couple of weeks away from Double or Nothing. I could see that being the show where they do a blood and guts match. Maybe they could. It is one of their best crowds. It's always one of the loudest for sure.
Last year sends in a super chat saying, Riho returning soon. Jade versus Riho. Yeah, there's, you know, that was reported by Dave that he put out there that we can look to expect Riho coming out or coming back.
Think about Jade, though, but that makes sense considering how much
would
Jade.
Would be interesting.
And the thing Jade keeps talking about is wanting better opponents, wanting somebody who is at her level. The first ever AEW Women's World Champion. That's not bad. That's actually really good. I like that. And you could do kind of the Rey Mysterio vibe because she's so much bigger.
Yeah, she's so, and Riho's so tiny.
I'm in. Give me Rey. I don't want anything else. I need Riho versus Jade Cargill now.
Well, so here's my thing. And when it comes to a lot of the Jade matches, I really wish that they would switch things up because I feel so many of them are pretty much exactly the same. And so if you were to do Jade versus Riho, I don't even need Riho to defeat Jade. Like, I don't even need it. I just want to see a different match for Jade as champion. So personally, like, I love the whole mention of, you know, doing like the Rey Mysterio thing with them, because clearly the size discrepancy is going to be, you know, the big thing to talk about with this. But I just want to see them mix it up a little bit more with Jade's competition, and Riho would be a fun one. So thank you so much to Last Year for sending that in. Much appreciated, a whole lot. All right, I'm trying to catch up with everything here. We got one from Hero290 who says Mercedes Moné wins the IWGP Women's Championship, and I'm pretty sure we'll be talking about that in a little bit as well.
All right. Is it on your list? That's cool.
Here we go, and let's get into Did I already do my second best of the week? No, I'm next. All right. For my second best of the week, I was trying to think like, okay, what did I really enjoy from this week? And one of the things that I was thinking about was the Sami Zayn Cody Rhodes interaction on Raw. Yes. All right. I felt like this moment could not be not on this list because, you know, and oh God, where do I even begin? The Cody Rhodes Roman Reigns storyline and the Sami Zayn Roman Reigns storyline has sort of, you know, kind of come together now because of Cody winning the Royal Rumble, heading into this match, and just the whole entire conversation surrounding all of this. And so with this specific moment, for me, I think what I most primarily enjoyed about it was that going into the match, you know, everybody was like, okay, you know, we know Roman Reigns is going to defeat Sami Zayn. That was very crystal clear from the beginning. But I think what they did here, at least for this particular night, I think that they did a really good job of casting a little bit of doubt in some people with the way that Cody Rhodes was kind of, you know, Sami Zayn calls him out and asks him, you know, I want to know if it's true what you said last week. Like, do you think that I can defeat Roman Reigns? And this kind of led to Cody Rhodes saying, like, it doesn't matter what I think. What matters is what you think. And then this kind of is a little bit of a pep talk sort of from Cody Rhodes. And then finally we get Sami Zayn, you know, going off saying that he believes he can do this. He believes he can do that. He believes he can main event WrestleMania against Roman Reigns. But then he also talks about how Roman Reigns has been so dominant and blah, blah, blah. And he's seen the bloodline get away with things and all of this. And one of my favorite parts in this was when Cody Rhodes said that Roman Reigns was just a man. And that part when Cody Rhodes said that, I was like, ooh, that is so good right there. I really, really liked that. On top of that, when the closing portion of this, when Cody Rhodes told Sami Zayn, I don't want to see you at on Raw next week. I want to see you at WrestleMania. I thought that the way they just laid this whole thing out and seeing both Cody Rhodes and Sami Zayn interact in this manner and the back and forth here, I thought this made for very compelling television. I was completely interested in what Cody Rhodes was saying. I was interested in what Sami Zayn was doing. And I thought that it added to Sami Zayn Roman Reigns for Elimination Chamber, just maybe having some people go, like, what if, right? Because you want to go into a match, even though we knew that Roman Reigns was going to defeat Sami Zayn, you want to go into a match feeling like maybe there's a possibility that we can be surprised or something crazy can happen. And so I did think that Sami Zayn and Cody Rhodes on Raw did just that for this matchup here.
Agreed. I liked all but one thing about this promo, but for the most part, I thought that everything in this promo from Sami Zayn and Cody Rhodes was very good. I think that it even, there was one little piece of it that did something that I don't even think that fans realized they let happen, but by cheering it and letting it go. But there was this kind of big brother, little brother energy to this promo, in a way where Sami needed Cody's convincing that he could be the one to beat Roman Reigns. But I don't think people realize that what they did in this process was establish that Cody is the guy and that Sami is a step below Cody. And I think that the way that they, the fans kind of played into that and chanted, you can do it and all that at Sami, legitimized Cody. It made Cody look like the one that, you know, is the sure bet. Sami is the one that we have questions about, that we had questions about.
He was like
about
a little bit insecure, maybe not so confident. Yeah.
Right. And I think that they did a phenomenal job here legitimizing Cody here. I had one thing that I hated about this, and it wasn't on the fault of Sami, wasn't on the fault of Cody. It was on the fault of the arena, Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. I think chanting "this is awesome" in a promo is the stupidest thing imaginable. I get why you would chant that in a match because you are impressed at the action you are seeing. When you chant it in a promo, and in the promo, there's nothing happening that would warrant that other than the fact that you like it. The issue in this case is that with promos, the wrestlers have to be reactive to what the crowd is doing. And so in the moment that "this is awesome" was chanted, Cody almost just had to like ignore it. He just paused for a second because nothing he was saying would warrant going, you know what, guys? This is awesome. And then, like, getting back to what he's doing.
The way that I took that, because I do agree with you, because it's like, okay, how do you react to that, right? But the way that I took that from the fans chanting, this is awesome, I took it more as them going like, oh, we're loving that we're even getting this conversation between Cody Rhodes and Sami Zayn. You know, so yeah, that's the reason why I didn't hate that. I just kind of thought, okay, well, you know, they're chanting, this is awesome, because they're just, I don't know, happy to be here in this moment.
I know, and I get that, but like, as Sammy's like pouring his heart out and talking about, I don't know if I can do this, and Cody's like pep talking him, and the crowd's chanting, this is awesome, and I'm just thinking, that has nothing to do with the context of what's happening here. I feel like in promos, chants should be within context. I liked You Can Do It as a chant. I thought that that was like, okay, one, it gave me very like Waterboy vibes, but also you have Sammy who is doubting himself, and I think that that was a good chant to play into it. But in the sense of this is awesome, I think that it didn't fit the context of what's being chanted, and I think you leave the guys with nothing to react to if... Like, I can't imagine. I'm thinking back to some of my favorite, like, two-person confrontation promos. And I'm thinking about Regal and MJF from last year. And thinking...
Oh, that wouldn't have fit in that one, for sure. Not even but a it was little a, bit.
It was awesome. But I think that if somebody had started chanting, this is awesome, him down, it would have been... There's no promo where I don't think it's weird. I thought it was weird here.
This one was different, though, because nobody was tearing anybody down.
I don't think anybody's tearing anybody down, but I think that the doubt that Sammy had in himself in that specific moment didn't warrant. For him to go, like, imagine if Sammy had to be the one to react there and go, yeah, guys, I don't know if I can beat Roman. This is awesome. Like, this doesn't make any sense.
Okay, when you point it out like that, yeah, it's definitely...
That was the only thing I didn't like. But otherwise, yeah. I think that the two of them... in the ring together was magic, and I think that it really helped sell that Cody is the guy, and I think that WWE has needed to do that pretty much since this all started, and this was a great way to do it.
Exactly. So I did love this moment. Granted that this is awesome chants were questionable, but you know what? I think that the actual content that we got between Cody and Sammy definitely warranted one of my favorite things that we saw this week. Yes. All right. So here we go. It is now time for worst of the week. And Will, you're up, dude. What is your worst of the week?
All right. Really had to think long and hard about this one, because I'll tell you, this was a rough week for referees. And so there's a lot of like referee shenanigans stuff that I probably would have thrown on here. I almost wanted to go with the Brock Bobby ending, but at the end of the day, there was one particular thing that happened this week that I just can't get over being incredibly stupid. And that was Saraya and Toni Storm at the end of the triple threat match at the end of Dynamite. Saraya spray painting Toni Storm's ass for her to do the Sweet Cheeks music. There's so many questions I have here, such as, one, what did they think was going to happen here? Did they think that the paint would, like, you just see the green paint just like kind of cloud into the air, so it really from a certain angle looks like a cartoon fart from Toni Storm. So that looked bad enough. But then did they think that the paint was going to like stick to her tights? And then at that point, it would put an imprint on Britt Baker's face. Had that worked, I might have actually not had as much of a problem with this as I did. But this just looked stupid. I was actually getting into the match before this happened, even though I looked at the clock and went, there's only like 4 minutes left. And I think that this just brought the match to a halt. It brought the finish to a halt. I get that these matches are supposed to be no disqualification, but like, that doesn't just mean you let a fourth person into them. You probably should still keep that under control. I had so many problems with this, and I was very much looking forward to this as a main event. I was happy Ruby Soho got the win in a main event. I think Ruby Soho has actually gotten to look better than she's looked these last few weeks than she has her entire AEW run. I think since she's come back, she has felt like one of the star players in the division. Very good thing here. But man, did this just bring it to a halt. I don't know what anybody was thinking here when they put this together. If this is like Saraya and Tony Storm's idea, please stop them from having these ideas. If it was somebody backstage's idea, maybe try it first and see how it looks before you decide to do this on live TV in the main event. This was just awful. I didn't like it at all. And this was a bad week, honestly, for Triple Threat main event women's matches, because I didn't like the Raw main event either. But I think that this spot trumped it for being my worst of the week.
And here's the thing, like, I feel really bad because everything that they've been doing right now with Saraya and with Toni Storm and all of this, I feel like a lot of it has been more misses than hits. And it kind of, you know, even from like the very beginning when we were talking about Britt Baker and Saraya and, you know, their feud and how one person was supposed to be the babyface, one person was supposed to be the heel, but yet it was opposite. And then we fast forward and, you know, we're getting Saraya and Toni are first supposed to be the babyfaces. And then finally we get them to turn heel. I personally feel like a lot of it hasn't been run very smooth. It hasn't been a smooth transition. It's been a bumpy road with the whole entire story that they've been going with this. And I feel bad because Saraya has been getting like a lot of negative backlash for a lot of what's been, you know, failing in terms of her story in AEW since kind of the beginning. And it almost seems like nothing has been working necessarily too great. And I hate saying that because I'm a fan of Saraya. There was a lot of stuff that I liked, but I recognized that they were not, you know, universally loved. And I get the criticisms for all of that. And the thing with the spray paint, I like the idea of them using the spray paint to, you know, obviously just incorporate it into their heel and also heel work and all of that. I get it. But for some reason, it just isn't hitting at all. And I think that they're overdoing it. So when she did it on Toni so that she could then do her, you know, her hip attack and all of that, for me, it was one of those things that I'm like, was it really necessary? Maybe not super necessary. So because of that, I agree with you. I didn't think that this was good at all. And I just really feel bad because I think that they could be doing so much more. Like, remember the reaction that Saraya got when she came into AEW and had her moment? I feel like we could be getting such good stuff, but so far this isn't it. And I feel bad, but the Ruby Soho thing, I've been really struggling to get into Ruby Soho and what she's been doing on AEW. It's been a big struggle for me. Like, I was not into the stuff that she was doing with Ty. I wasn't a fan of any of that. When she came back afterwards and, you know, we kind of picked up where they left off from, I almost like I didn't care. I almost felt like, you know what? Like, I get that they never finished this thing off, but I just didn't have any interest in it before. I didn't have any interest in it afterwards. And so for me, a lot of the stuff that they've been doing here has been a miss for me, which kind of sucks because I don't want to see that. I want to see stuff that, you know, clearly I'm interested in it, but right now it's not grabbing my attention. And what's worse is that because this was the main event spot on Dynamite, there's like different standards that you need to meet, especially for a show that already wasn't necessarily that great.
Well, Denise, are you ready to burn the world down?
Oh, I'm ready. So here we go, because I'm about to just like light up this stream. So get your chat ready. Get your chats ready. Get everything going. So
burn it down.
So when it comes to worst of the week, here's the thing. I feel like you can go one or two ways, right? You can go with something that was stupid, like you mentioned, something that was dumb. And there was a lot of stupid, dumb stuff that we saw play out throughout the week. You know, one of them being Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar. I thought that that was complete and total butt. Like, the way that they ended that, I didn't like it. Same, you know, I could sit here and tell you how I didn't like, you know, a lot of what some of the stuff that they did for the Women's Elimination Chamber. I agreed with Will on his worst of the week. However, when it comes to something, do I go the route of something that I may not necessarily care about too much, or do I go with the route of something that I did care about? So I've decided to go with the route of something that I did care about that I did not think met expectations and fell flat. And so my worst of the week is, hold on, let me pull up my little thing. My worst of the week is going to Roman Reigns versus Sami Zayn at Elimination Chamber. And the reason for that is multiple reasons. One, I cared about this going into this. This has been the best thing that they have been doing. The story has been phenomenal. Shit, we're just talking about Sami Zayn and Cody Rhodes and everything that they did on Monday Night Raw, and God, the reaction that Sami Zayn was getting in Montreal for SmackDown, all of that, because I cared about this and because they had an opportunity here, Will. We're always talking about some of the greatest moments and reactions, and the reason I was personally looking forward to this match was because I said it had the big fight feel. We knew Roman Reigns was going to defeat Sami Zayn. That's fine. We knew that. But I think at the end of the night, there was no reaction from people. I think the fans were truly waiting for something special to happen, a moment, so that they can grab it and, you know, hold on to it and do something, like react to it. I thought that the ending fell completely flat in the sense that, so we had the match. Like, there was a lot that I liked in the particular matchup, but I was still waiting for it to kind of, you know, really peak, right? Like, really have this peaking moment. Did it peak? Not necessarily, but I thought, okay, fine, you know what? I'm more interested here in the story, and I want to take that element into it. When they had Jey Uso, when they had Jimmy Uso come out and do the attack, and afterwards we're thinking, okay, you know, clearly Jay is going to come out. Jay comes out and they have this whole moment where, you know, is he going to turn on Roman Reigns? Is he going to side with Sami Zayn? What's going to happen here? What direction is Jey Uso going to go in? And instead, we didn't get Jey Uso making a definitive answer. And this to me was, this was the moment. And this was the big disagreement that Sean and I had on last night's stream that got us into like a 1 hour argument about it. But I still stand by. I really do think that they dropped the ball on capitalizing in this moment, because if they do the turn with Jey Uso, or even Jey Uso siding with Sami Zayn, whatever direction they choose to go in, if they do it in some other crowd, it's not going to meet the, it's not going to hit the same that it would have had they done it in Montreal. This was a once in a blue moon opportunity to really grab a hold of this moment, seize the opportunity, make the fans feel like they saw something big time happen. Instead, they dragged the moment out. They teased a bunch of different directions here, but didn't actually go with anything. And then finally, Sami Zayn accidentally, you know, takes down Jey Uso. To me, that was incredibly lame. I felt that they were, in this storytelling that we got for this match, I felt that WWE was afraid to actually do something here. I feel that they were trying to extend the moment way too much when the moment was now to do something. And at the end of this match, I had no reaction, Will. I didn't feel like applauding. I didn't feel like screaming. I didn't feel like booing. I didn't feel like crying. I didn't feel anything. I was just like, oh, that's it? I was so hyped up for this, and I feel they dropped the ball. Now, I know that this has gotten the internet wrestling community upside down, but at the end of the day, this is my opinion, and I just don't think that they necessarily seized the moment.
Three things. One, not just your opinion. Leonard Aaron says, thank you, Denise. Absolutely nailed it. The story's over to me. Sammy and KO beating the Usos won't be close to Sammy beating Roman in Montreal. Becky says the Sammy-Roman match was an overbooked mess. Two ref bumps, really. And kind of going back a little bit to my worst, we had another one
from
that
Jared.
Was from Jared that says, everything about Saraya feels so Divas era, her style of wrestling, though that's probably due to her neck, these storylines, etc. Nothing is elevated. I'm hoping that she gets, because a lot of people get some of their best work out of Sky Blue. Jade Cargill is a great example of that. I'm hoping this week's Saraya versus Sky Blue is something where she gets to prove it. Anyway, so I gave you two of my three things. My third thing is... Chaos Control says, Denise, I was letting you cook and you chefed up some valid points. All right. Denise Salcedo.
Why do I feel terrified? I feel like you're gonna hit me or something. Well, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? Where are you at in this argument?
I think you are a brave individual and I respect your opinion. That said, okay, I will say, as far as this match was concerned, I am, this crowd was incredible. I think that When you think about, you know, we talk about AEW crowds all the time and how active they are, how into the show they are, and how, man, you know, it's crazy how WWE has that many people at their shows and they can't sound as engaged as a Dynamite crowd does. But this was one of those cases where they had a sold out crowd, a massive crowd in this arena, and they sounded engaged in everything that was happening, particularly in the Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns match. And I think that that is something that can't be understated. These fans were way into this. I think that the match was a great dramatic Roman Reigns match. And I say that in the sense of, like, your mileage will vary, because I know that there are some people who are very, very sick of this type of match that feel like they're not as, you have to have essentially a taste for what Roman Reigns does in matches to like his type of match. I understand that. But really, obviously, the big discussion here is the ending. And I have to say, I'm mostly with you on the ending. I thought that WWE was in a position with how much the crowd was invested into this, how much the internet was invested in this, how much anybody you talk to who watches professional wrestling was invested in this. They were in a position to deliver something. And I feel like they kind of coward's way out of this, all of it. I feel like they didn't let anything have any sense of finality or any sense of a decision being made. It felt like everything here was inconclusive by the time we walked out of it. We had so many questions, such as, and any one of them could have been answered. Can Sami Zayn defeat Roman Reigns? Will Roman Reigns put away Sami Zayn? Is Kevin Owens going to reunite with Sami Zayn? Whose side is Jey Uso on? Those were all the questions going into this. Not a single one of them was answered. And that was the problem I had here. I feel like if you weren't going to have Sami Zayn win, honestly, I would have had the balls to just have him lose clean. I think the ref bumps and leaving and having it look like Sami had it won, that just strengthens the fans' idea that they wanted Sami Zayn to do this. I don't think that's a good idea. I think you should have left that one open. I think that Jey Uso, if the match is going to be the Usos versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, I think that you should have had some kind of decision made on Jey Uso, because having him accidentally hit by Sami Zayn and then disappearing for the next 10 minutes didn't do anything for anybody. And then Kevin Owens coming out and kind of making the save, but then just sort of walking off. I thought everything after Jey Uso went down was flat. And this was from somebody who was engaged in this match, who was excited. I thought that all the way through, I was like, oh, I bit on a couple of those falls. I thought some cool things were going to happen. From the ref bump, I was like, oh, this is where we're going. Okay, you know, maybe that's fine. But then they did the second ref bump. And then, again, like I said, the having Jey not make a decision at all and having him just kind of disappear and Roman then win the way he did with the chair shots, I thought was flat. I didn't like the way it ended at all. And I think that it was kind of cowardly. I think that with that crowd, you could have given them something, because I think even if you had Roman defeat Sami clean, that would have at least given the crowd a sense of, damn it, we were rooting for our guy, but he just didn't do it. Damn. And you could have had this, like, overwhelming deflation from the crowd, which is a good reaction in itself.
It's at least a reaction.
It's at least a reaction, right. Yeah. I think that if you had Jey do the turn, which it sounds like they're going to leave some conflict in there, but if you had Jey do the turn, then at that point, at least you would have given the crowd something to be angry about. If you had Kevin Owens hug Sami Zayn, you would have at least had a, hey, we didn't get what we wanted here, but man, that's a feel-good ending. You didn't give them that. You didn't give them anything to give them a conclusion here. And to me, I think that they took such a coward's way out of what was an exciting, well-built thing. I was not angry enough about this to make this my worst. but I will say I didn't like the finish at all. I didn't, but I liked the match. I liked the match and I was into it, but the finish was not for me.
There was a lot of good moments in this match. And you mentioned, you know, biting for a couple of those near falls. So did I. You know, Sammy going in there in the middle of, you know, with the way that Roman was like talking shit to like Sammy's wife. And then finally, you know, Sammy getting a little bit of an upper hand and finding a way to even go in there and smack a kiss on his, like on his wife. Like all of that, like little things like that, I thought really did kind of give something. But yeah, I feel that's what I was basically saying. Like they didn't give the fans anything to really react to, whether it was anger, happiness, anything. And it kind of just left people standing there thinking, okay, well, that was, you know, all that for where we're at right now. So we do got a couple of super chats here. And this is from Mr. CJ Lilly, who says, who gets more unjustified hate, Alexa or Saraya? They say or do any, even post about their partners during Valentine's Day and they both can't win. I'm going to say Saraya. I think the amount of hate that I have seen towards Saraya has been very crazy. I see it because I've posted, you know, clips of her from the scrums on my Instagram. Oh my God. It's horrible. And the words that people use to talk about women is very ugly. I've spoken about this before, but it's so different when they're talking shit on a guy and when they're talking shit on women. It's night and day. I do think Saraya gets the most hate when it comes to these two people. And then let's go in here. We got a couple more super chats here. This one is from S Martinez 281, who says the fact that Kevin came out after the match was over to give the crowd some kind of joy while they leave the show. It was after the match. It was Drew Roman ending again. Bleh. Thank you so much to S. Martinez for sharing your thoughts and for sending in a super chat. I appreciate it a whole lot. Did you want to add anything to this, Will, or should we just pop on?
Okay. I can see that.
All right. And all right. So there you go.
And just the people kind of arguing in the chat saying that the story wasn't meant to conclude here. I'm not saying the entire story was meant to conclude.
Of course not.
Yeah. No, yeah. And nobody thought that. Obviously, the WrestleMania is where the conclusion comes. But I think that at some point, a question needed to be answered here. And any one of the questions, I'm not saying even all of them, I'm saying any one question that people had going into this match should have been answered. And they basically left us exactly where we were last week. And I don't think that justified the price of the ticket, basically.
Right. See, here's the thing. Like, the argument is not who should have won. That's not even the argument. We knew Roman Reigns was going to win. That's fine. That's not even the argument here. The other thing was like, you know, there's people say, no, you're just fantasy booking. Fantasy booking a good ending is not, or just like an interesting ending, to me, is not fantasy booking. Fantasy booking is like when you say, I specifically needed this, this, and this, and to happen. We wanted something to feel like there was anything to even be excited about or to react to. You, like I said, the fans wanted to go home feeling like there was something worthy to talk about in regards to the actual you know, culmination leading up to the ending there. And that's where I feel we didn't get there. And I do agree. That's why I said, like, it felt like they were afraid. And, you know, you worded it differently with them coming in terms of like more of a cowardly response to this. And that's truly what I do feel. Like, this doesn't mean the argument is not the ending of the story should have been here. That's not the argument at all. You're telling me that just because Jay would have actually made some sort of, you know, decision here, whether it was to stick with Sammy or turn or whatever, that the story would be over? Of course not. That would only catapult it and lead you to say, hey, I'm going to see what else they're going to do the following weeks. And think about all the stuff that they could have done leading up to WrestleMania with a decision, with a moment, something more important, feeling like it actually happened on the show. And I don't feel we necessarily got that. And so I feel like sometimes people don't necessarily understand what the argument really is here in regards to why a lot of people, because there's a lot of people that are really torn on this. I'm seeing the conversations online. There are people that are like, well, let's just let it play out. And then there's people that are like, well, no, like this was a moment to actually seize the opportunity and do something more definitive with it. That did not by any means necessarily mean that it would be the end of this story. Patchy Rick sends in a super chat, a very generous super chat. Thank you so much to Patchy Rick, who says, I was bummed at the first ref bump, but I screamed at the second one. I'm a Royals fan that attended game 7 of the 2014 World Series. Sometimes the home team gets beat. Thoughts on this? Will, since I know you're a big sports fan.
Yeah, of course. I was working with a company who sponsors the Royals in 2014 at the time, so that was kind of a big deal at the time. I remember all of that. What I am saying, though, is, I mean, yeah, sometimes the home team gets beat. And again, I just... So... The reason, guys, it's not so much a fantasy booking thing. I'm more so thinking about the grand scheme of things in with WWE as a whole. I'm thinking about how a lot of people sitting around on the internet are saying that they don't believe in Cody Rhodes, that they don't think Cody Rhodes is the guy to face Roman Reigns. And the one thing that I was just applauding when we talked about Denise's number two was that... talking about
Denise's number two.
Yes.
Thank you for applauding my number two.
But either way, when we were talking about that,
that's so disgusting.
I mentioned how I loved the way that segment removed a lot of the doubt around Cody and made him seem like the guy here. One of the things I think they took a step backward on is that anybody who felt like Sammy should be the guy. Do they feel any less that now? I feel like if there was any inkling, and I don't think the fans are going to turn on Cody, but the way people keep saying, the way a lot of people are trying to will that into existence, I feel like increasing the doubt around the possibility of Sami Zayn being champion instead of removing all doubt, to me, harms the WrestleMania main event in a sense that you're now just get those people who were firmly behind the idea that it should be Sammy aren't going to feel any less that way now. If anything, now they feel more that it should be Sammy, because we've now visually seen on two occasions in that match, Sami Zayn had Roman Reigns beat. Why would he not be entitled to something at this point? Why is he not the guy to make his way into a match? Because literally, we saw this 2 years ago. Bryan Danielson had two matches with Roman Reigns in which he had him beat, and but the number one contender was Edge. But at that point, now how can we deny Danielson his match? And we ended up with the triple threat. Now I feel like you have a case made for a triple threat, and I don't think they're doing the triple threat, but there's a case made for it now. And I think that they didn't do right by the possible Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes main event.
Thank you so much to Patchy Rick for also sending in the super chat. Very generous of you. And okay, let me catch up. This one is from Shane Haas, who says, how they follow this up will be interesting. I mean, to be honest, I'm just a little bit like, okay, well, I feel a little bit less interested. I'm not going to lie here. I do feel less interested. I'm just more so of like, okay, clearly they're just doing anything they can to extend it and actually give us some sort of conclusive anything, really. Thank you so much to Shane Haas for also sending in the super chat and getting your thoughts in. Let's press on from here. We actually have another one from Ricardo, who says, I think I agree about Sammy and Roman. Thank you, Ricardo. Again, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. This is entertainment. We're not talking about politics here. This is actually not so serious, you know. So at the end of the day, it's pro wrestling. It's entertainment. It's subjective. And you can, you know, agree, disagree with whatever you want. Keon Jarrett sends in a super chat saying, the match was great. The ending was meh, but much respect for Kevin Owens coming out to give the fans what they want. But the storyline ain't finished, though, LOL, says Keon Jarrett. Thank you so much for the super chat as well. Did you have a thought on this one, Will? Sorry.
No, I'm ready for number one.
Okay. Sorry. I know we're going a little long here. All right. Number one, Will, you're up first. What is your best of the week?
Money. Money. Look, here's the thing.
How do you do that?
You can't beatbox. Nope. No, okay. Well, that is a thing I've spent my entire life doing, and that It's just the thing I do. But look here.
I can't
I watched Battle of the Valley the entire night. I watched it from what was supposed to be the beginning, but guys, that show took 45 minutes to get started with some technical errors.
I heard.
But you know what? Once we got to Kairi versus Mercedes Moné, worth it. Absolutely worth it. Starting with the entrances. Of course, this was smaller venue, but at the same time, it was a packed house. And if you ever needed proof of who sold out this house, a lot of the matches didn't have the crowd reactions that this one did. But you can tell that a lot of non-New Japan fans were in the building and were in the building to see Mercedes Moné. Look, some great stuff happened on this show. We actually saw, I thought, a great match between Eddie Kingston and Jay White. Eddie Kingston defeating Jay White in a loser leaves New Japan Pro Wrestling match. Afterward, you know, after that match, he was jumped by Dave Finley, and I thought, that was only okay. Jay White was. But other than that, it was a good goodbye to Jay White, and you could see tears kind of coming down his face as he took the pinfall, and I was like, oh, that got me. But Mercedes and Kairi had something to prove here, I think. And I believe they did it and did it with in the biggest way possible. I think the match was ambitious. It was exciting. It was electric. And it was creative. You know, I mentioned how this was a rough night for referees because this match also had a ref bump. But I enjoyed, I almost groaned when the referee got knocked out in this match. My initial thought was, I just saw ref bumps and I'm tired of ref bumps. But you know what? The way it was used was very smart because talking about some of the action of the match to begin with, I thought, again, just creative spots. One of my favorite spots in the match had Mercedes hitting the Eddie Guerrero Three Amigos, but as she goes for the third, and she even kind of shimmies with it, as she goes for the third, Kairi reverses it and spikes her with this DDT. Again, just creative stuff here. There was a Cazador in the match that looked phenomenal. Just as a whole, everything was smart. But then even when the ref bump happened, and the ref bump happened via Mercedes pulling the ref into the line of fire and ref getting knocked out. And Kairi looks like, what the hell did you do that for? And gets pissed and then drags Mercedes out of the ring, and they end up brawling outside of the ring. And this ref bump wasn't used as a way to, like, get some bullshit interference off or have a false finish happen. In this case, the ref bump was used to suspend the rules for a moment, because at that moment, then, Kyrie's like, fuck the rules of this match. We're going to fight now. And they go outside the ring, and they start fighting up on top of the stage, and they do the table spot outside, which all of that wouldn't have made sense with, like, the referee would be calling them back in. One of them would have gotten counted out, all of that stuff. And it was literally just used in a moment to suspend the rules and didn't necessarily throw a bunch of convoluted stuff in or put the finish of the match in question. It was just to turn this into more of a fight for a moment. I liked that. And I thought that was a brilliant use of the referee. We saw Mercedes hit a Bayley to belly in the match. And of course, the crowd, knowing that Bayley was in the crowd, you can almost see people all turn around and go, hey, that's the thing for her. They all start chanting Bayley. I thought that was cute. But then, of course, in the end, a very finish that people were kind of giving Mercedes crap for before, I think she pulled off flawlessly. And at the end of this match, some of my favorite women's matches that have taken place on U.S. soil have mostly involved Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné. And to me, I think this is up there as one of her best. To me, this is up there with Bayley from TakeOver. I think it was a moment when she got that victory, and you can almost just see this dreams come true sense over her. Of course, we talked earlier about her Hanakamura attire and the hair and all of that. And that was very cool in commentary, making sure to mention all of that. Shout out Ian Riccaboni for breaking down all of Mercedes's accolades as she's making her way down to the ring, talking about everything she's won, talking about her as the, you know, SB female athlete of the year, all of that stuff. I thought commentary was really selling her as an all-time great. And this to me is up there with her best matches. This was very, very, very good. I had to watch it a second time. I've watched it now, I guess, technically. First time, again, I passed out. Second time, I watched it in full because you had texted me asking me how it was. And I'm like, I don't know. I didn't finish it. And I'm like, well, I guess I should. And so I went back and I finished it. And then I was like, that was really good. And then I watched it one more time this morning just to be certain I felt as strongly about this as I was making my list as I did. This is, I think, thinking about the fact that she walked away from WWE. A lot of people questioned her on that. A lot of people questioned, is she doing the right thing? She's betting on herself. Does she actually have it? I think even coming out of Wrestle Kingdom this past January, there were a lot of questions around, is she actually over? Is she the star she thinks she is? The moment was kind of flat when it happened, when she attacked Kairi. Do New Japan fans even have the patience for women's wrestling? And I think she answered all of those questions here and proved she is who she believes she is and believes that she's worthy of the moment she believes she is. This was phenomenal. And I can't wait to see them run this back.
Well, I'm happy that you painted this, like, it makes me excited to watch it because I didn't get a chance to watch it, as I mentioned at the top of this stream. So, you know, here's the thing too, that I want to mention is like you touching on whether or not people were expecting her to be back or not be back. I think that you got to respect Mercedes for really going out there and doing something different, because I've said this before, she could have taken a bunch of easier paths. She could have gone back to WWE. She could have just gone straight to AEW. She could have just stuck with, you know, just doing, you know, red carpet appearances and this and that, but she went a different route because it was, you know, her dream, the thing that she wanted to do. And I feel like you got to respect that, you know, and I'm really happy that she got her moment. So I can't wait to watch that. Sheldon Jackson sends in a super chat saying, I like the David Finley heel, just as long as he doesn't become the new leader of the Bullet Club. Who would you have become the new leader of the Bullet Club? So Will, since you watched this, walk us through what happened here.
Yeah. So, I mean, pretty much after the match was over, Dave Finley makes his way in and he does attack Jay White. And I was worried because I was like, oh no, is he the new Bullet Club leader? Cause that's, kind of out of nowhere. The way he runs down Jay White, he really runs down everything Jay White's accomplished and talks about him kind of walking away from it all, and that he is that it's all for the taking and he's coming after it. And it was just more so about Dave Finley looking to become the new ace of New Japan in terms of the top heel. And less about, I can't use the term ace, I guess, because that's already reserved in New Japan Pro Wrestling, but becoming kind of that new top guy in place of Jay White. But I don't think it was a Bullet Club thing. In terms of who the leader of the Bullet Club is, fuck, I don't know. I'm worried about even continuing the Bullet Club at this stage because it's kind of been a bit on life support for the last 3 years almost. I think Jay White's been keeping it alive, but Jay White is I don't know, Jay White has kind of been the exception, whereas when I look at the rest of the Bullet Club, I'm just not in a place of feeling like this faction needs to continue in the way it is. So I'm not the guy to answer that, I guess is the answer.
Anime Otaku says, I love that Riccaboni explained the ladder under the ring in the Homicide match. And then we have one from Devil Kazuya who says, Will and Denise are not snowmen reliable reporters. Obviously, this is a nod to the Ariel Helwani, Tony Khan feud. Also, I would like to clarify, I am a content creator.
Media personality, not a journalist, never claimed to be.
Exactly. All right, moving on from this, my best of the week. And okay, so for me, this is something that we already touched on. And it was, you were right with your with what you said, that your number two would be my number one. And it was the men's elimination chamber. Now, Will, you pretty much ran through what happened with that. So I just want to highlight a couple moments here. I'm glad that Austin Theory retained the title, because I really do think it benefited him just a whole lot more to actually, you know, just hold on to the title. And even with the ending, I didn't mind the way that they did it, because to me, it falls in line with Austin Theory's character. And when they did the whole injury angle with Montez, dude, I fell for that for like a good period of time, because it took so long for us to see what was coming out of it. Because when they started taking Montez out, and I thought that Austin Theory was going to use that opportunity to like cheat or something. And then when that didn't happen, I'm like, oh shit, like something's really going on here. And you mentioned that last little tumble that he did at the end where he kind of, you know, kind of goes down a little bit. I'm like, oh my God, either it's a little bit too dramatic, or you could take it both ways. It's a little bit too dramatic, or you're thinking, okay, this is something serious. Whatever, right? So when Logan Paul finally comes through, you're like, okay, this is why they did what they did here. But they sold me a ticket to that. I was so kudos to them on that. But
that's amazing, because I literally was like, okay, Logan Paul, let's go. Yes, like that was my immediate thought when he stumbles.
I was waiting for a bit. I'm like, okay, should I be concerned right now? Like, what should I be?
They would have kept. There's a couple of things, because I guess it's just one of those, I have too much experience with this kind of things. But my two thoughts were, if there was something wrong, actually wrong, I think they would have kept the cameras off and not on.
Yes.
And then on top of that, my thought was, depending on what's wrong here, if it's like, if you think it might be a concussion or a neck issue or anything along those lines, you would not be helping this man to his feet. You would be carting him off. And so I felt pretty comfortable. Like, I think everything's okay.
I second guessed myself. At first, I was like, okay, this is going to be Theory. He's going to get his moments to cheat right now. And then it went on a little longer, and I'm thinking, maybe he really is hurt here. And then afterwards, I'm like, okay, finally, no, he's not. So it was one of those things where I thought they did a good job with this little injury angle that they did. And having Logan Paul come out, and I'm freaking stoked about Seth Rollins, Logan Paul. I mean, we pretty much knew since the Rumble that they were going to go this direction for WrestleMania. I'm stoked for it. I'm here for it. I'm ready. Johnny Gargano, I thought this was probably the best we've seen from him on the main roster thus far, because they've really dropped the ball on Johnny Gargano. You touched on that earlier, and it's true. I need them to present Johnny Gargano a lot differently, because you know he can go, you know he can have these great matches, but I mean, everything that they had him do with The Miz and Dexter Lumis, all of that was so lame, and it really, really bogged down Johnny Gargano, especially given that he had just came back into the company and you wanted to see, I think everybody was like ready, you know, like, oh, finally the small guy that was never given an opportunity because of his size on the main roster, he's finally gonna get this opportunity. And now we get this whole thing with Dexter Lumis and The Miz, so that was super lame. But I'm glad that Johnny Gargano did have a couple of great moments in this matchup here. Damian Priest is another one. I thought he did phenomenal in this match. I loved everything that he contributed into this matchup. I thought they gave him a lot of good moments here. Really good stuff there. Bronson Reed, I have been liking, you know, these quick little squash matches that he's been having on Raw with Akira Tozawa and Mustafa Ali. All of that was really great. So I was happy for Bronson Reed. He was somebody that I was really looking forward to in this match, and I thought that he did his part too. The way that he was eliminated was really fun and made sense for the Bronson Reed, given his size and everything. Montez Ford, though, was the highlight of this Elimination Chamber. Like, he was the person that you're coming out of talking about, because he did so freaking great. I mean, he went in there, the second he went in there, he just brought like so much energy, sped everything up, had a lot of really great interactions. You mentioned the moment off the, you know, the top, very top of the Elimination Chamber, the way that he climbed up there, set himself up, and then just threw himself down. That was freaking great. I mean, there was a lot of really good stuff that they did with Montez Ford here. And I think this was kind of the, I don't know if you needed any proof, because you already knew Montez Ford was good. So I don't even want to say you needed proof, but this was just a further example of why you should be doing something also in the singles realm with Montez Ford. Now, here's the thing. I don't want the Street Profits to break up. I would like them to stay together, but also have them do stuff, you know, individually. But yeah, this was great, man. The Elimination Chamber, top to bottom for the men's, I thought was phenomenal. I loved everything about it. And And just seriously, kudos to Montez Ford for giving us that creative spot, because I was looking forward to seeing something unique in this chamber, because that always feels like, I don't know, it makes the chamber a little bit more fun for me. We get a super chat here from Sheldon Jackson, who says, wanted to ask you both of your thoughts on the fact that the Intercontinental title hasn't been defended on a PLE since Clash at the Castle almost 6 months now. Sheldon brought this up on my watch along yesterday, and I didn't even realize it till he said it. And that bums me out, because I love Gunther, and there's so many opportunities to be had with Gunther. It's not like you're sitting there with a champion that isn't great.
I'll say this. Let's look at this from a different angle, and maybe from a more positive one. That's not to say the title hasn't been defended at all, because like when we look back at Shinsuke's run, the belt like didn't get defended in the months it wasn't on pay-per-view or PLE. But if anything, I think they're doing a really good job drawing attention to the title on TV, which is where the majority of the fans are. He is having big title defenses, and they're main event matches when they happen. So I'll at least say that I'm not so bummed about it not being on a premium live event at the moment. It, just because I wouldn't have put Madcap Moss on a premium live event. No. There's no way. But at the same time, getting the match on TV to showcase what Moss can do, I think, is a better idea. So I'm not so down on that. That's all.
Last year sends in a super chat saying, any chance of more than one women's match at Forbidden Door 2? What would you like to see? Shida versus Ryu Hayter and versus Utami would be awesome. How do you feel about this? Well, for me, I mean, I think like definitely given how stacked Tony gets those cards, I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, it just really depends. Yeah.
No, I think there would be this year just because of the fact that last year the issue was there's only one women's title between the two companies. There was the AEW Women's World Title, specifically talking about World Title. TBS was there at the time, but talking about World Titles. But now, in the same way that Forbidden Door had both the AEW title defended and we also saw the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship defended, I think you can do a IWGP Women's World Championship defense and do an AEW Women's World Championship defense and have both defended. So I think we will.
Thank you so much to last year.
I almost have no doubt that they do both.
I hope they do. I hope you're spot on that one. Thank you so much to last year for sending in this super chat. Alrighty, so that's pretty much our show. Seriously.
Hey, I want one last guess. One last prediction. What do you think Tony Khan's announcement is on Wednesday?
Oh, yes. I was talking about this on my show on Wednesday, and my predictions are, okay, so I have a couple. One of them being, I think he's just going to make an official announcement about Ring of Honor TV. The other one is maybe some more information on the London show for 2023. And then there was another one. And for some reason, I'm blanking on my other prediction that I had. But those were my main two predictions for what I was expecting from Tony Khan's major announcement. What do you think?
The problem is, I don't think it's Ring of Honor.
Oh, yeah. Someone also mentioned Forbidden Door 2. And then also the video game thing. Those were some of the things that were brought up on the show. Yeah.
I'm going to throw out a bold prediction because why the fuck not? All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
I think we get, because his wording, and granted, this is just a bold prediction. I don't actually know anything here, but the wording of it is an important announcement. Now, usually when it's an event, he'll say it's a major announcement or a huge announcement, but this is the first time they said important announcement. I think some of the mystery around CM Punk gets answered.
Oh, shit, Will. And what do you mean? Because here's the thing. If he wasn't coming back to AEW, here's the thing, though. If he wasn't coming back to AEW, there'd be no announcement. So then the announcement would be he's coming back. Would it not? Because if he's not coming back, you wouldn't make an announcement. But if he's coming back, you would make an announcement.
Yeah, either that or it's the dates for the UK shows, because the UK show's already been announced. So that's not necessarily an announcement. It's now more so of a, okay, here's confirmation of what we announced before. Like they already did right. that. So right. I don't know what this is, but I don't know. I just feel like important announcement feels weird. I am still in Punk watch mode. I get it.
I don't know. I'm more along the lines of that's what I think. I think it's going to be more of like the Ring of Honor stuff where he's going to make like an official announcement on that. That's why it's important.
I saw a backup Hangman. Shout out backup Hangman. He had the tweet of, no, they're going to announce the second dance at what was it, at United Center and literally just leave it at that. And I thought, damn, that would actually be pretty good.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, there you go. That was After the Week for Sunday, February 19th. I want to thank you guys always so much for coming in here to the channel. Please, if you haven't already, subscribe. I just surpassed 91,000 subscribers, making the way to 100K, which has been a pretty long journey. So please, if you haven't already, click that subscribe button. There's tons of content to check out. Also, you can now become a YouTube member here. If you want additional content, I'm posting all of the Wrestling Rewind episodes up for members only. On top of that, you're also getting bonus videos. I posted a video of Will and I interviewing fans at AEW, All Outside. I posted a interview that me and Sean did together that was pretty funny, pretty silly. If you guys want to check that one out as well. I did a studio tour. I'm doing like a bunch of different videos. We also did a fan any live stream where people actually were able to hop on to the actual stream and meet up. And there's been different perks each and every single month. Last month, we did a Royal Rumble pool. So something a little bit different each month. But please, once again, if you would like to become a member, you can just go ahead and join here. But that is pretty much it for us. Will, please let the people know where they can show you some support.
You can show me some support on my my Twitter. I am at WilliamRBR. I host a ton of podcasts all the time. I don't even know what podcasts I've got coming up this week. I think I'm going to be on Four Finger Discount next week, which I'm really excited for. Podcast reviewing The Simpsons. Recently had Cole Cabana on. It's a great show. And I'll be reviewing one of my favorite episodes. And hey, don't forget, in case you forgot, Denise, but next week we will not be here at our normal time.
Oh, shit. I did forget. Damn. So, that, oh, yeah, we were going to be on at a later time at yes. 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Yes.
Yes, 7 p.m. Eastern. So don't miss us next week, but don't come early because we won't be here. But we will definitely be here at a special time, and that is, as Denise said, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, right here, youtube.com/DeniseSalcedo.
Bless you for remembering that because even I forgot. Yes. All righty. Thank you guys so much. We'll catch you next time.